Welcome to the Mastery Podcast with your host, Mark Coles. I've dedicated the last 23 years as a fitness professional to mastering my mind, my craft, and my business. It is my passion and mission to help each of you to do the same. Over the coming episodes, I will be providing you with all the necessary tools to be able to take full control of your career and your life. I'm really looking forward to going on this very exciting journey with you, so let's get started.
Kira Rossi is someone that myself and the Scale clients, our Scale team, have had the privilege of working with for the last 8-9 months. And this is not for us to just talk about what we've done. The reason I brought Kira and asked Kira to come here today and flown in from Dubai, which I'm very grateful for, is to delve into her journey and her story. It's incredibly inspiring what she's built and what we're going to unpack during this interview. One of the big reasons for doing podcast interviews is to give you guys an insight into what's possible, but also the insight into the mindset changes and the journey that people have been on. Because very often we see what people are making, the clients that they've got, and you would just think it's unrealistic. It's not possible. And it's exactly the same with fat loss. When you see your clients achieve a body transformation and your clients go, I'm not going to sign up with you because it's just not possible. So the reason why I love doing these interviews and these conversations is because I'm sure Kira will agree with me, it's possible. Yeah. And it stems from something. So what I want to kind of get into, and firstly, congratulations on all your successes. Would you just mind, for everybody in the room, just giving a little an understanding of what Fit Coach Rossi is and kind of where it is today?
Yeah. So I'm Kira, for anyone that doesn't know. I'm in Scale the last 8 months, and from where my business started, like, I've been doing this 6-7 years, but I did actually start in a gym. I was doing personal training, I had my own studio, and then I closed in COVID and went like solely online. And before that, I was like totally against going online. I was like, no, I'm always going to be in the gym, on the gym floor. It wasn't for me. And then the minute I transitioned online, I actually went online because obviously with COVID and stuff and closing the studio down, but I was doing live classes on Instagram for everyone. I was one of those people. I know, Lucas, you were saying with the shopping bags, I was definitely one of them. And to this day, like going forwards, we actually still do live Zoom classes with like over 200 girls. So business is solely online, female based, and yeah, I'm excited to kind of share my journey about where we started and where we are now.
No, well, I'm very interested to know the personal training part of this as well, because the more interviews I do with successful coaches and the more I delve into the journey, they start at personal training. Mm-hmm. And what did personal training teach you the most about that you've carried into online coaching?
So being a people person, I think actually having that experience on the floor and understanding clients and knowing exactly, like, for example, like you don't get that kind of, well, you do now, but you don't get, I didn't feel like you could get that bond with someone online. And the experience that you get on obviously the gym floor and teaching classes and the community, like we're big into community, like anyone that follows my page, you know, like you just see the girls all over my page. That's what we're all about. That's what the brand is. And I just feel like we've created a space for females to come where they feel empowered, they feel safe. They're like, I'm a part of something. We've got hundreds of girls. We've got like 300 clients at the minute, and the team has just like gone from here to here. So I definitely think though you do need to have experience on the gym floor and teaching people and understanding people.
No. Incredibly, you know, and to listen to so many coaches that are like, you know, I'm going to jump into online space without that kind of understanding of how to bring people together and how to bring a community together. Now, just to repeat, you know, if you could repeat what you just said, I want to give everybody here just an idea of what you've been able to build. So currently Fit Coach Rossi is 300 women, mm-hmm. Two coaches.
Yeah, a team of five. Yep. When I started with you, it was just me.
Yeah.
And that was 8 months ago. And like everything has just gone, like, you know, what I'm like once you say do something and I have the guidance and I know what I have to do, I will do it. But yeah, it's gone from 25 people every transformation or one-to-one clients, 20 clients a month, to over 300 girls at the minute.
Wow. Well, let's take this back, right? Mm-hmm. Because what I talked about in my presentation was emotion. Mm-hmm. And I remember our call, and there was quite a bit of emotion.
Yeah.
There was the desire and almost, try and find the right word. There was deep pride in what you wanted, but you didn't know where to get to. But you had a point to prove.
Yeah.
And you felt there was a point to prove.
Yeah.
Take me back to this point to prove, because you have a huge amount of emotion behind what you do. It matters to you. Where's all that come from?
So just from a personal point of view, I remember I got on for the call with you and you were like, I don't get it on my page. He was like, I'll just take up your Instagram here. And I was like, oh my God. And he was like, I don't understand it. He was like, you're saying like you do coaching. He was like, but I don't get the page. And then I was kind of thinking to myself, like, wait, what? I used to post, but post very irrelevant things just to post, to say, get a post up. And I never actually thought about what I was actually, who I was targeting, what the business was. It was just a post. And I wanted to kind of, where it comes the same kind of from your point of view, where you were, coming from not feeling like you're enough. So when I was younger, my dad left when I was 13 and he left for like over 10 years and then came back on the scene. So when he did do that, like, my mom was a single parent, she brought us up. I'm an Irish dancer as well, brother is a footballer, and she was a single parent. So that drive from my mom definitely is where I'm kind of, where I get everything from, like my inspiration, my determination to say, like, I want to kind of give back to her. And I absolutely love what I do as well. So I think you have to obviously have passion and really love what you do.
And when you said, obviously, your dad not being here, and I do, you know me, mm-hmm. I like a bit of depth.
Yeah.
But when I unpack some things, there's a reason for you when your dad wasn't here. And obviously with the Irish dancing, that was something you threw yourself into heart and soul.
Mm-hmm.
But your dad not being here, was that something that created you into a more of an independent person? Was there some responsibility there that you took on yourself to push forward with life?
Yeah, definitely. I think I had like something to prove, and I knew, I was like, I just knew from the get-go when that happened. Like, I actually only realized the last like couple of months, and I'm working with a therapist as well on the side and with yourself. Before we even got into business, you were like, no, we need to kind of do some personal work. And I definitely think you have to work on the personal development before you can even go near the professional development, because you're the whole business. And if you're not fully there, and I was very in denial for a lot of years about like that kind of feeling like you're not enough, feeling like I had to prove to someone. And I think as well with school, when I was competing with Irish dancing, all I did was dance. I had a part-time job because my mom didn't have enough money to like buy us a dancing dress and do this and that. So I wanted to kind of obviously give back to her. But with my dad, that was something that was deep. And even with trust issues with business, like, I never trusted anyone to do anything for me in my business. I was like, no way. I was like, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll delegate like this time. And it just never works out. Like, you obviously can't do everything yourself. But trust was definitely a big thing along the way. And just kind of really looking at like that place of abandonment. And I know a lot of people think like that type of stuff is like airy fairy, and like you don't need to look at that type of stuff. But now, looking at like where I am now with my mindset and with where I want to go and what I want to do, I know that that has definitely given me that like push.
I think a lot of people don't spend enough time, as you're doing, to get to the next levels in your life. And I said it in a video recently, there's blessings in challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And that feeling of, however, you know, you called it abandonment, but that often abandonment or feeling of abandonment for a lot of people creates drive.
Yeah.
Because they feel, well, I've been left, I've got to do something now myself.
Mm-hmm.
You've obviously only just identified with where your drive comes from. It's that feeling of need to prove, because you felt that something was taken away from you.
Yeah, definitely. So like that obviously has fueled what I wanted, where I want to take things and what I wanted to do. But I only actually realized all of that when I was like, why am I doing all this? And who am I trying to prove to? Because I know it was like a lot of validation from other people. But now I'm just like, just want to do my mom proud. I want to like give her a life as well that she's never had. And I just want to obviously keep growing and give my team as well like something they never expected to.
So the women that you work with, if you were to sum up what Fit Coach Rossi is as a community, that's evolved quite a lot over the last 12 months for you. But if I was a woman joining your community, what is it all about?
So when you join, you're obviously not just doing one-to-one coaching. I think that's important as well. Like when you do join, say, even a coaching program, that you aren't by yourself. And like the majority of the girls that are with us stay with us because of, like, say, in events that we do, girls meet up, do sessions together, we do group calls. And when we got on for the Zooms, everyone's cameras are on. We all get to chat to each other, unmute. We, like, there's just a lot that goes on inside even WhatsApp groups. And where I'm, like, one of my highest values is making sure that when someone signs up that they're getting the utmost best from us. So like if you don't check in, like, we will follow up with you. If you haven't followed up with us again, we'll follow up again. So like we really make sure that when you're signing up, you're a part of the whole brand of what you're getting.
Love that. Now the bottleneck for you when we first started, you said that it was you not letting go, even though there was a lot of inquiries coming in. And very interested for everybody here, that feeling of when you were like, right, I want to take this bigger, but there was a bottleneck, there was a challenge for you. And I think you articulated it as, I didn't want to let go of anything. I'm sure there's quite a few people in the room here that are in a similar position that know that there's something bigger like you did, but you weren't letting go of something. What was the thing that you weren't letting go of?
It was just time and like actually saying, like, thinking that no one else can do the job except me. And I was like, no way. Like I just didn't trust, like, say if someone was signing up, I was like, no, I need to do the call. I need to do the onboarding. I need to do this because they need to see me. And even my mom and my brother, they're like, they're coming for you. And I'm like, they're not coming for me. They're coming for what the brand represents. They're not just coming for me. It's the same with you. They're not just coming for you. They're coming for the whole team, you know? So definitely think that.
So that was one of your biggest transitions, was Fit Coach Rossi isn't just you.
Yeah.
Now, over the last year, you've employed people, you've hired people, you've brought people on. What have you found to be the biggest challenge for you in terms of having people within the business? Because I know for quite a while, everything was mental. You were busy, busy, busy. But how have you navigated through that whole journey of hiring people? Because I know there's a lot of people here that are going to be hiring people. What's your biggest kind of take homes or learnings from hiring people in the last 8 months?
Time back for me. The business has grown like 3 times. And you don't think that because you're like, I can do everything. And then you don't actually know that the people that you can hire are right in front of you. And they were my clients. So like I actually before, like the girl that's doing my sales calls, she was one of my clients, she still is. I trained my first coach, Jade, she was with me in 2016. And then Shauna, I personal trained in the gym as well. So like they're all like the people that you are looking for, they're right in front of you if you actually look. And I know you said to me, you were like, Kira, make sure like if I'm looking for someone to do my calls and sales and stuff, that you know exactly like that they want to do this and someone that's inspired. And like Grace is so enthusiastic about doing calls, and I know a lot of people they hate doing calls, they're like, oh my god. So I just think that like there's a role definitely for everyone, and the people that you want to put into your business are definitely people that you have to know and that are inspired by you too.
And they've obviously come through your training program, so they know the systems, they know the processes.
Yeah.
And with the training and development that you actually spend time with them on, what is the stuff that you've found that you have to spend more time on with the girls that you have?
Like, they don't know everything. And sometimes you just have to be really clear with people when you're taking them on that, like, if you don't understand something or if you're uncomfortable doing something, like, it's communication at the end of the day. And I always say to them, like, this is a teamwork thing. This isn't just me. So you have to let me know if, like, this isn't working or if you need help with anything. And I just make sure that, like, for anyone else that I am, that we will be hiring, like, down the line, that there's, like, a whole system in place for actually onboarding staff as well. So that's all in place as well.
Now, with everybody here, there's, you know, I know there's going to be a lot of people that you've got a good audience, a very highly engaged audience that was inquiring right at the beginning. And I want to kind of unpack how the coaching community that you built there's been layers to it. You've added to it. You know, I'm sure at the beginning it was just the check-ins. It was just girls checking in and speaking to you. Now, obviously, the clients are a part of something a lot bigger. but you're less involved. The transition of you being slightly less involved with the coaching and what you've implemented, what have been the biggest things that you've implemented for it to become a community?
I think probably the group calls, like not doing every single check-in and actually saying to my coaches, like, this is the way the check-ins are. They've gone through the system, so they know what the standard is and how to do it. But I definitely think, like, we've done so much that sometimes I can't even think.
Yeah.
And we've got events on 3 a year. We do a group call once a week as well. I do all of the education and the actual talks and stuff. I always make sure that I'm on for that and that I'm the face of it, like yourself as well. I just think that's important that, like, yeah, you can pull back a little bit from your business, but you still have to be there. And, like, that's the reason everyone is obviously all together is because of me and the teamwork that we do.
You mentioned just then that you have live events. Mm-hmm. A lot of people here will be like, well, I'm running an online business. How important, I mean, we're here today right now and just speaking to so many of you at the lunch break, it's just incredible to just speak to and connect with people. I remember when we put your first event on and there was like nearly 100 people that came to the event. How impactful have they been on the brand and the connection that you've been able to build with your clients?
Yeah, so I do think, like, online, you just think, right, it's just an online business. There's no way I'm going back into, like, the floor work or even events and stuff. But that's been huge. The first event that we done, I could only take 100 people in the space that I hired. And there was, like, 136 people on a wait list that wanted to come. And on the day, I think we turned over, like, obviously a certain amount of sales from people that literally came to the event and were like, I want to be a part of this. Everyone is so nice. The girls are amazing. Like, and when you have that, and when you have that community and everyone's like friends, everyone wants to do well, it's amazing. Like, it's just so powerful.
And do you think that obviously you've now added in, and I think this is important for so many people listening today, if you can take anything away from the conversation that we're having, is Fit Coach Rossi isn't an online coaching business. It's the growth and the scalability of any business is turning your coaching business into a brand and turning the brand into a community. And I think that initial phase for you was a training business with online clients. And now Fit Coach Rossi is something that you've been able to, I say, step away. What does your role on a day-to-day basis look like now compared to when, let's say, 9 months ago?
So with the transformations, we do obviously like one-to-one gym, and then we have like classes where people say, like, the moms or anyone that's a little bit uncomfortable and they want to do it from home, we actually do the live classes with our clients. So on the Zoom, we do it with them. And I used to do like 8 classes a week. I used to have to train in, obviously do all the check-ins. I had like 70 check-ins on like a Monday. Then I had like 20 on the Tuesday. And you just said to me, like, this is just way too much. So now, like, what the day is like, it's basically I do one Zoom a week and I get on for that on a Monday morning, and that kind of sets the tone for the week. I enjoy it as well. I don't want to take back from that. But from going from like 8 to 9 Zooms to one is a lot. We do a group call with the girls as well once a week. So, like, in terms of, like, say how the week went last week, really making sure that the team is 100% and no one is kind of like, oh, what's going on here? We have like check-in lists, so we'll go through everyone, any clients that are struggling. Like, it is really in depth. So when you're signing up with us, you're not just getting a training program, you're not just getting told to do that. It's a lot more like the community side of what we do is, I think, the reason why everyone comes to us.
So your clients get education.
Mm-hmm.
They get lives.
Yeah.
They get actual live event. So yeah, not only the lives on Zoom, they get a live event. Mm-hmm. What are we adding on top of that?
We get a group weekly call.
Yeah,
we have different topics. You've got the back end of the portal with all the Zoom classes. You've got your actual training portal on the back end too. And we've got a Facebook group as well. But with the Facebook group, like, a lot of the girls on the WhatsApp prefer to stay there. If they've paid for that, we go into a little bit more detail there. But the Facebook community is for people that some girls aren't clients yet. But all of, like, our clients, we always get, say, to put in wins or put things into the group chat. We might give, like, into Facebook, say, recipes or this or that or ideas. And that's kind of, like, where our girls inspire other people that are in the Facebook group. And that's where all our kind of leads come from as well. Like, it's all organic. We haven't had to do any ads.
So this is an important point, right, which is so important for us to unpack. You know, we're not here that's going to flash about how much money Kira's making. You can kind of do some maths if you realize she's got 300 clients, that it's going pretty well. But the most important thing is, in terms of the amount of people that are in the program, the service level, when you're in the program, what am I right in saying that you're now finding that a lot of the women that are in the program are helping the other women in the Facebook group on the lives,
yeah,
and actually the community's helping each other as opposed to the coaches always having to do the work. So when you build a community, are you finding that they're inspiring each other?
Yeah, definitely. And like even some of the girls that don't even know each other, if they're around, say, the Dublin area or wherever they're based, they'll meet up, they'll do sessions together. And like we don't even have to say anything, but it's just like that bond when you're joining. Like we always make sure as well when someone's getting added in that they're introduced, because like a number has been added into the WhatsApp group. Like, who are they? Right, well, this person has joined, and then a lot of the girls just join in. And they're like, welcome, you're going to love it, this, that, it's amazing, that we don't even have to do basically any of the advertisement because our clients speak for us.
Now, this I love, because I was actually just going to mention this before my last question, was the fact that there's no ads, there's nothing being run. Now, I know one of the biggest things that you have done in the last 6 or 8 months is you started to be a lot more vulnerable about your feelings, about how you feel about what you're trying to build and who you're trying to empower. Was that a challenge for you initially to be as open and truthful and as honest? Because we talked about Georgia and Simon, their journey, and like you speak very, very eloquently and passionately about what you're trying to build. I'm sure in the room here, there's a lot of people, we call it finding your voice. Mm-hmm. What's been the biggest catalyst for you? I mean, it's clear for me to see that every time you create a post, you're shouting from your heart.
Yeah.
But you weren't shouting from your heart at the beginning when we started working together.
No.
So I call this finding your voice. And it's the ability to actually articulate what's in your heart and share that with the world so that they listen. And this is one of the biggest skills that I think you can learn, but it only comes when you start speaking from the heart. So going from somebody that was quite closed in terms of what you weren't sharing, and you believe that, you know, part of you wasn't good enough to necessarily have this dream, I'd like us to try and unpack this 8-month transition to being probably one of the most vocal people that I know in terms of what she's building. But you're doing it in a way that's not arrogant and it's just thoughtful.
Yeah.
How's this happened?
Well, I think I was more afraid of actually being vulnerable and putting up and saying like, this is how I'm feeling, or portraying my posts with emotion, because I was like, that was kind of weak. And I was like, oh, why would I want anyone to know that I'm struggling, or why would I want to know this or that? And I definitely think as well, you spoke about bullying, and I don't really feel like bullying. I think bullying can happen to anyone. It doesn't just happen to someone that's overweight or someone that has, say, a disability or something wrong with them. It can happen to anyone. And from a younger age, like a lot of people used to say to me, like, you're a little Miss Perfect, oh my god, you're this, you're that, but like that does actually stick with you. And I know that's like kind of a point where I'm like, I'm not little Miss Perfect. So I show people that, and I'm like, I'm struggle too. I've had a lot of hiccups along the road. I've got a clothing business as well. That's the hardest thing ever to run. And I'm still learning along the way, and showing people your vulnerable side, and even just showing them like your struggles from why you're actually doing everything and who you are. And I know a lot of like males might think like, oh my God, no way would I be getting on and telling like my audience like that I'm weak or I'm that this and that. But like, it is important for people to actually know exactly who you are. And for a long time, people didn't know who I was. They, like you said yourself, when you went onto my page, like I was posting pointless things of like, I don't even know, like posting dresses and clothes and all. I'm like, I wear gym gear or normal, like a dress every once in a while. Like, I don't even know why I was posting all of that. And I was looking for like likes off, say, posts, and I was getting like, I actually was getting satisfaction from that. I was like, oh my god, all these people are liking this, but like I wasn't getting any sales from it. It wasn't my business, so what was the point of it?
And a lot of people, I think, you know, back from when you and I first started speaking, there was a lot of people that had an opinion about you, and it affected you to the point where people were like, you know, like you're saying, Little Miss Perfect, da da da. But that had almost silenced you to a certain degree. Did you feel that it allowed you to just silence yourself for fear of people calling you out or saying nasty things to you? Because I think a lot of people are very frightened of just going out there. I mean, right now, a lot of you listening to this, you might have all your friends and you're worried about putting your social media out there because, like, back home for you, worried about what if people start giving you crap? What if people start being nasty to you? But you've overcome that.
Yeah, I had a lot of kind of, like, could say bitchiness that kind of went on. And even when I was at home, I struggled a lot with kind of like putting myself out there because I was afraid, even like so-called friends, I was afraid of, say, friends being like, oh my God, why are you putting up that? Or always questioning myself before I even thought of anything. So say before I put up a post, I'd be like double thinking. I'd send it over to one of my best friends. I'd be like, is that okay? Is that too much? Like all the time, just worried about what everyone else was thinking. And that probably does come back from when people always said, you are mad, like, oh my God, you never socialize with us, you're always at competitions, you're always dancing, you're always doing this and that, it's so boring, like, what, like, people used to literally call me boring all the time, and I was like, I was just so focused on wanting to win at a competitive, like, at Irish dancing, and they just never understood it, and obviously when you surround yourself with the right people, everyone in here probably understands, you know. Because it just really comes down to your environment and who you're with. And I had that for such a long time where people literally like cornered me when I got into the gym and they were like, why are you doing that? Like, oh my God, like this, that, do you have a new car? You have this, you have that. And I'm just like, geez, like I got a lot of it. And that's like, it was probably weighed out the percentage of the good things. So when I flipped it around, I stopped caring what people were thinking. I stopped questioning myself and I was like, why am I holding myself back for people that I don't even care about? Mm-hmm. You know, like these people are not my clients. These people aren't my friends. Like, so, you know, and I do think that like with social media as well, you're constantly thinking, is this okay to post or, you know, so now like what I do is I do it all for me. I do it for the business and I love what I do.
And I suppose the last, you know, 12 months of the journey has been you unpacking. It's okay to be you. It's okay to not allow what other people's judgments are of you to impact what you're trying to build. I suppose now the energy that's in your voice is the fact that you feel like you've been set free from perceivably people trying to hold you back. Now, I know obviously you and Josh have recently spent a bit of time over in Dubai, and it's not just Dubai that this is for people, but you know, the choice to actually leave home and travel. I'm a huge advocate of changing your environment. Mm-hmm. And obviously the business has put you in a position of being able to do that. I'm not going to sit here and say everyone's got to travel, everybody's got to move. Why the move for you? And what's that? It's at the end of building a business that it gives you the reward. Mm-hmm. And now you're receiving the rewards. How important has that reward been for both of you to now be able to travel and be able to go to different places and give yourself the reward? Because obviously you spend a lot of time building the business.
Yeah. When you get to a point where you're doing really well, people will either want to see you crumble or they want to obviously boost you up and keep going. But at home, like anyone that is from Dublin, it's a very small place. Everyone knows everyone's business. And when you get to, say, the next level, a lot of people don't like that, and I've never changed who I am from the get-go. Anyone that follows me, you'll know, like I haven't changed, and my values will always stay the same. But we wanted to obviously take ourselves to the next level, and we knew at home, okay, so like where can we get bigger, what can we do, what's like the best gym that we could go to, where can we record content, all of these things. And we knew that Dubai had nice weather. We knew that there was going to be good connections there. It's a big gym community. And from January, since we moved, like we went last September just to trial it and see if we did like it. It was a huge step. And you can always be afraid of leaving what you have here or at home to actually moving away. And mine was, oh my God, my mom, the dog, I can't leave her by herself. And we had my uncle, took his own life, say, a year ago with mental health throughout the lockdowns. And my mom was really struggling. And at that time, I was like, I can't leave her. Like, and she just said to me, she was like, here, you do what you have to do. She was like, you know, I'll always be here when you get her back. And I think people are afraid to actually do that. And it's hard because you're leaving people at home that you're like, oh my God, you know, like you do. It's hard. It's really hard, especially when she's struggling and stuff. But she knows that she can always get on a flight and come over to me, even though she won't come. I've been trying to get her to come, but she won't. Yeah, yeah. But I definitely think you have to step outside your comfort zone. Like, you know what Benus is like. You know what all the gyms are like. Everyone's just there, like, grinding. Like, every taxi man that you chat to, even going to the gym, they're like, everyone here in Dubai is grafting, you know. So definitely to take it to the next level, we were like, where can we go? And that was our choice.
And that conversation, I think it's for a lot of people to have here. It's not that it's not the fact that Dubai is the destination. So many people go to other places. One of the great points from this is, you know, being somebody that's gone from a small town to a city to London to travel, it's not uncommon to find people that have got successful trail and successful businesses that have done some moving along the way to kind of challenge themselves a little bit further. Yeah. Now, I know there's, you know, women in particular, because you stand up for empowerment with women. From a business perspective, for any woman that is struggling in themselves to make the big leap, especially to develop their own brand, because obviously there's a lot of women saying, and guys that have their online coaching business, but to switch it into a brand and go out there and share their own mission, what's your biggest piece of advice to any woman, especially women, for you, because you empower women to just take control of their business and take it to the next level?
So everything starts with you. Like, it's your baby, your business is your life. And I think with females, like, you just have to stop questioning yourself and being afraid of what other people are going to think, like what I said, and look at, like, the personal side of things. So, like, I'm looking at every area of my life. I've got a coach for myself. I've got you as a mentor. I've got a therapist that I go to and speak. So, like, if you know there's certain areas of your life that you are struggling with, that could be the bottleneck of holding you back in your business. And don't be afraid of what someone else is going to think, or, oh my God, is that a bit much to put up? Like, you have to put yourself out there to grow a brand. We're living in an online world, and you will be forgotten about if you haven't put yourself out there.
Would you have been in the past open? I'm a huge advocate of self-development. Would you have been somebody in the past that would have been open to therapy or deep personal development work? Would you have been closed off to that in the past?
Yeah, oh my God, I would never even thought about anything like that. And my mom is pretty old-fashioned, that she's like, here, come on, forget about it, move on. And I'm like, my God, like, right, okay, just forget about it. But when I actually started delving into, like, inner trauma and myself and stuff and everything that happens to you along your timeline, it's like, this is why you're like this. This is why you're feeling like this. Even to be a better leader for my team and, like, to actually guide them, like, I have to be able to feel emotion. I have to be able to know this is where this person's coming from. And I definitely think that's like a big, big, big thing, personal development.
Well, you all know that personal development is a huge, huge passion of mine. And without my ability to be vulnerable, I certainly wouldn't be here today. And I know for you, having the vulnerability to explore some of those, you certainly wouldn't be where you are today. I personally, from mentoring you, and I speak on behalf of everybody in the Scale team, I'm incredibly proud of what you built, but also what you're going to build, because it's just empire level is ahead. And huge congratulations, but thank you also for being in here with us all today.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm.